Good evening, anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 1st of March. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now, on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and Genesis Energy. Our fresh water reporters check in, and we will finish with the fly fishing tip of the week, as always. First of all, the fly fishing news. The moon phases. The next new moon is on the 7th of March. A new moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 0 degrees. At this time, the moon does not appear to be illuminated. What does it mean for fishermen? Well, a couple of days either side of the new moon will offer the best fishing for freshwater anglers. Start planning your trip away now. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite. Full moon, fisherman's folly. Have you ever wondered about which fly line to choose? Rod and Reel are hosting Fly Lines Made Easy, and Simon Gorsworth from Rio Products will be presenting. Now, the event is on next Saturday, that's March the 9th, starting at 10 a.m. at Rod and Reel Tackle in Broadway, Newmarket. Come along and hear all about fly lines and how to choose the right one for you from one of the best in the industry. Simon will also explain the fundamentals of fly casting. Our very own Matthew von Sturmer from Salt Fly Fish will be there to talk about saltwater fly fishing around Waiheke Island. Well-known fly tyer Stephen Kerr and Matt will be sitting at their vices tying up fresh and saltwater patterns. There will be fly casting demonstrations, sausage sizzle, and tackle specials on the day. Now, here's the good bit. It is free to attend. How good is that? It's Rod and Reel Tackle Store, March the 9th, starting at 10 a.m. See you there. The Hamilton Anglers Club will be holding a kids' fishing day on March 31st at Lake Te Kutu. It's commonly known as Cambridge Lake, starting at 9 a.m. The event is for kids under 12, and children can learn how to catch fish and use a fishing rod. Now, kids need a parent or supervisor present, but there will be club members and staff on hand to help out. Pure Fishing New Zealand has kindly donated some Berkeley products and kids' rods, so there will be gear on hand if you don't have any of your own. Fly fishing gear is also available for kids who want to give it a go. All children need is a fishing license, and the good news is those fishing licenses are free. So remember that, March 31st, Lake Te Kutu, Cambridge Lake. Fish and Game New Zealand has been informed that the Arapuni Dam staff there will be shutting down the powerhouse on April the 11th. Anglers should avoid the Arapuni spillway as it will be taken to full flow of the river during the shutdown. Anglers are reminded to be cautious during the shutdown and expect rapidly changing and potentially dangerous conditions in and around the Arapuni spillway. That's April 11th, remember that. The Hooked on Fly Fishing radio show is on the internet. That means you can listen to this show at a time that suits you. How do you do it? Easy. Just go to the website planetaudio.org.nz/hookedonflyfishing. You can listen at a time that suits you, as we said, and there are also archived interviews with fishing experts. planetaudio.org.nz/hookedonflyfishing. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact Hooked on Fly Fishing by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, Met Service weather. Let's look at some weather. The Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A ridge of high pressure remains over much of New Zealand. The forecast for Manukau Harbour tomorrow, Saturday, variable 5 knots, becoming southeast 10 knots early morning, then southwest 50 knots in the evening. Easing to variable 5 knots in the evening, sea slight fine. Waitemata Harbour, Saturday, southeast rising to 15 knots early morning, then easing to variable 5 knots in the afternoon. Southerly developing for a time in the evening, sea slight, fine. Hauraki Gulf, Saturday, southerly 15 knots, turning southeast 15 knots early morning, easing to variable 5 knots in the afternoon. Winds becoming southerly 10 knots in the evening, sea slight, fine. The outlook for all harbours on Sunday, southeast 15 knots, becoming southwest 10 knots in the morning. Fine. Not too bad for the saltwater fly fishers. I can tell you I was out with the fly rod on Wednesday and there are kingfish round the green buoy in the Motuhea Channel. One of them's got my green fly. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Fine with southeasterly breezes. Sunday in the Waikato, mainly fine, light winds. If you're fishing in the Rotorua region, the forecast for Saturday, fine, southeast breezes. Sunday in Rotorua, fine, light winds. Taupo Anglers, forecast for Saturday, fine, light winds. Sunday in Taupo, mainly fine, light winds. Up and over the hill into Taumarunui, Saturday forecast, fine, light winds. Sunday, mainly fine, light winds. And for our South Island listeners on the Canterbury Plains, forecast for Saturday, fine apart from areas of morning and evening cloud. Winds, mainly light. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, mainly fine, areas of morning cloud, light winds. Pretty good forecast all over our fishing regions. Right, let's look at some river levels. The Puni River is 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu. It's currently at 7.7 metres and falling. It's flowing at 4 cubic metres per second. That's down on last week. It's in good condition. The next one over, the Mangatutu, is at 0.92 of a metre. It's flowing at 0.96 of a cubic. Of a cumic, it's low and clear. The Ohinamuri River, measured at Karangahake between Pairoa and Waihi, is currently at 11.7 metres. It's falling. It's flowing at 1.6 cubic metres per second. That's low and hot for this river. The Tauranga Taupo River at the southern end of Lake Taupo is at 0.1 of a metre. Very low, and it's continuing to drop. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, is at 75.4 metres and falling. It's flowing at 1.85 cubic metres per second. That's low and slow for this river. The Nongatahā River, measured at State Highway 5, is at 1.55 cubic metres per second. The level is 0.7 of a metre. It's in good condition. The Whakapapa River is currently at 8.4 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 66. The Whanganui River, measured at Piriaka, is at 16.8 cubic metres per second, down from a high of 116 cumics. And the mighty Tongariro, measured at Turangi, is at 21 cumics, down from a high of 45.2 this week. Now, Met Service say a dry and fine weekend is on the way. All these rivers are expected to continue to fall and they will continue to clear over the weekend. Enjoy the fishing and be careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council, Bay of Plenty Regional Council and Genesis Energy for the information. Excellent websites, real-time monitoring. Thank you. Okay, we're going to have a very quick break and then the first of our fishing reports. Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. That's exactly where we want to talk to him and find out what the hell's going on. Good evening, Bert.
Hey, Cole.
Are you well?
Yeah, hanging in there one for our feather, are you?
Very good. Okay, now, Rotorua angling, what's happening, please?
Sorry?
Rotorua fishing, what's happening?
Oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's slowed up a bit. Hamarana and Nongata and Awaho have both been very, very, very slow. We had an awesome cold snap come through, almost down to frost levels at times, so it wasn't too good. And since we had that bit of a storm come through, the nighttime temperatures are down around the 8, 9 degree mark and lower on occasion. So what it's done basically is it's made the surface water of Lake Rotorua a lot cooler, which has allowed the fish to spread out a lot more. So Hamarana and the Awaho are pretty much done, and I don't think we're going to see it back again. Unfortunately, I was predicting earlier in the year that it was hopefully going through to April, but I think this has pretty much killed it. But Nongataha and the Waitati, of course, are both spawning streams, which is a whole different ball game. And there's been some quite good fish in the lower reaches of Nongataha. But a lot of those have actually moved up now. So the next lot of rain we get, which apparently is not overly far away, there will be another run up there with spawning fish. So still some browns out the front, but the winds we've been having lately are southerlies and southeasterlies, so it's made it pretty choppy out there, and not easy to fish in because they're very exposed to those winds at the Nongataha and Waitati. Mm-hmm. But there's still browns out the front of the Waitati, quite a few as of yesterday, so there's plenty of opportunities there. And quite a few guys have been out, and I know the fly fishermen, because they're fly fishing from inflatables. I haven't seen any float tubes out there, but inflatable boats and smaller boats having a great time further out than where the land-based guys can get to. Places like well off Hamarana, but even around the airport through to the Ahau Channel on occasion too. So around the out, you know, they're well out from the actual entrance, but and the Styx, which is between Mission Bay, which is near from the Ahau Channel heading towards Nongataha. You've got Mission Bay, and then you've got Wilson Bay. Well, in between the two, there's a point that you can really only get to unless you're super fit by boat.
Okay.
And there's quite a few fish been hanging around there too. Some dirty great rocks and a whole lot of rubble on the bottom there, and it's quite a popular place for trout. Okay. But the other lakes, of course, if this weather keeps up, the other lakes may start to come on. The smaller lakes will cool down quite quickly because there's less water volume to cool, and we could start seeing places like Rare Fakaita really starting to come on again. Caro and Lake Rotowahu have both had their algae bloom warnings taken off them. Mm-hmm. So that's worked out quite well, and they should start to come on stream as well. So there's quite a bit of opportunity available. I'd probably be looking at maybe Tarawera at the stream out at Te Wairoa, maybe the Waitangi stream if we can get to it. And further round towards the lagoon area, there's a couple of streams coming there that can be quite good fishing too, because they've got cold water coming in as well.
Okay. You mentioned Rere Fakaitu. We've spoken for the last couple of years, the level's been extremely high on that. Has it started to drop with this?
Oh, I think it's dropped a little bit, but not a lot. They did put a bit of a drainage system through to try and get rid of some of the water, but okay. I'm not sure how much it's helped, because at times we've had some, like on Christmas Eve, we had horrendous amounts of water. So whether that has just topped it up from what they're already meant to get rid of or not, I don't know. I haven't been out there for some time, but some spin fishing being done out there from the shore, and I've been picking out fish early in the morning, late in the evening, but usually best early morning when it's had a chance to sort of cool down a little bit overnight.
Okay, I've got some lovely photos of fishing Rere Fakaitu just after 5 in the morning, misty, cold.
Very, can get that way.
Very, very still. It's the whole lake's like a mirror.
Yep.
And you can hear the little fish sucking off the surface.
Yep. There's nothing like it. And it's quite elevated up there compared to the likes of Lake Rotorua. And, man, it can get cold up there. And that wind, there's not a lot to stop it up there. Once the wind does come through, it can be a pretty full-on place to fish, but it's certainly worth being up there. It's a beautiful area.
Yes, it is very nice. Te Wairoa Trap, now, I haven't been round there for a while, but you got to be careful you don't walk off the edge there.
Yeah, what's always a good idea is to go out there with your rod and your stick. You want to be at least, from any drop-off anyway, you want to be at least 2 rod lengths back off the edge of it.
Yes.
Because fish come right up right to the point of the drop-off, and just sit there. So if you walk up too close, you're going to spook them anyway, and two, you're just as likely to find some very soft sediment that's been built up. It hasn't compacted yet, and once your feet go down and you start floating, you end up getting a bit wet and a bit panicky. So, but it's not so much of a flow there. It's not too bad. You can scull yourself off to the side and get out, but it's still not something you want to do in a hurry.
That's right. And the good thing with the track around there, you can get a bit of elevation and you can see where the lip is.
Yeah, you can see where the flow over the lip, that's for sure. Yes. And then the other thing too is you can take a big stick out with you, and if it starts to get a bit soft, back up a bit and poke your stick in there so it's well above the water but in fairly hard into the bottom, and leave it there. And that's usually a pretty good indication of for other people as to where you should be standing.
Okay. Yeah, good. I've round the other side of the landing, round the orchard. There's a nice little drop-off there as well. But I used to cast from the beach. It's easy. You don't scare the fish.
Yeah, not quite so easy now. You've got to get off to the side and cast across because the vegetation behind has come up quite high over the last few years. So it's not quite as it was like 10, 15 years ago where there was a bit of beach and room to backcast. You certainly can't do a hell of a lot.
Okay.
Not a hell of a lot you can do about it with the way things grow around here.
That's right. Now, you're talking about Nongataha and spawning streams, Waitati. What flies are we going to use, Bert? Are we using brown nymphs, dark little nymphs to get down?
Yeah, in the Nonga, you want something that's two nymphs or a nymph and a wet fly. Okay. The wet fly is tied in behind the nymph, and at night in particular, it's quite good because you put it with the amount of light around from the town itself, which is where I tend to fish at night. There's enough light for you to be able to see one of those big fluffy indicators, and what you do is you just flick it out and let it come down, and you have, but you tend to hold it back a little bit so that the lure pattern will actually flutter in the water rather than just drift down.
Okay, yes.
And you can watch the indicator. Now, it works particularly well in that pool under the road bridge right in Ongatara, but also can be used not quite as effectively because it's a lot darker, but you can do it on the Waitati at the big pool there too, which is scoured out immensely after the Christmas Eve flooding. It was horrendous floods. And it's really scoured that pool right out. And you can go in there, and when the sun's on the water, you can actually see the fish right down the bottom. And you're talking 9 to 10 feet at least in depth of water. And it goes quite a long way down now, too. It's not a short one anymore. So you just drop it in the faster water as it comes out from under the bridge and over a bit of a rock bed. Okay. Drops into the hole, and you can fish quite well down through there.
Is that the little pool immediately above the road bridge?
No, immediately below.
Below the road. Okay, I know where you are. Yes.
Yeah, and then there's one further down you can walk down to as well. There's not a lot of room in there, a big bank of blackberry behind you, but I've picked out some very good fish and seen hundreds of fish in there at times too, just sitting in the pool, even above in the river itself, above the drop-off into that pool.
Okay.
And you can just, and some big browns, amazing-sized browns in that river at times too, like the Rangitaha.
Okay. Now, many anglers around or a lot of people gone?
No, there's still plenty of anglers around. Okay. I was down in Ongatara last night. Three came over from Tauranga, and I was trying to give them a bit of the lay of the land out there because they hadn't fished it before. And as I was talking to them, about five anglers came out, but it was pretty blustery down there, and it's not surprising that they came back. But I couldn't actually see anybody because the actual outlet in Ongatara is still coming out the left-hand side, and there's a huge, the biggest sandbar I've seen at the mouth of that for ever, I think. And it comes out in, well in, out into the lake, so the water is definitely being pushed out to the left as you look into the lake.
Okay.
And with that southerly last night, it would have been pushed right along the shoreline, so... but the access is still off Beaumont's Road, the boat ramp, and then walk around to the mouth and the pool just inside the mouth. There's quite a good pool in there that's been producing some good fish too at times.
Okay. Now, I'm just looking at Met Service. Your forecast is very good for tomorrow and Sunday, and even into Monday. Your daytime temperature is 25, but your overnight drops to 8 tomorrow and 9 on Sunday. So it is cooling down at nights, as you say.
Yeah, it was 9 degrees this morning at, what was it, 7 degrees at 4:20 when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 degrees by the time I got up again at about 20 past 6. It was about 9 and it started to climb. And it did get quite warm here today, but we still got that southerly coming through and it's still quite a chill in the air. It's not the sort of thing you'd be out there in short sleeves. Shirts for too long, I can tell you.
Yeah, you mentioned briefly the Ohau Channel. How's that going now?
Oh, it's not going to happen until we do get a significant drop. I know the Kaituna River, according to the rafters, because the boy's out of action on the lake, you can't tell. But the rafters were saying that the Kaituna dropped 3 degrees when that storm came through, which would have taken it down to about 19 degrees, which is not overly conducive to having fish in, but some of the smaller ones are there, though they're all year round. But once that temperature really drops between Rarawiri and Rotorua, that's when the fish will start coming back in again. And at the moment, we've actually got, even though we've had a lot of rain, the Lake Rotorua is in danger of going under its consented lowest level.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been holding the gates back. Holding the gates back so that it reduced the flow in the Kaituna anyway. So it's because there's less water, it's hotter too, so it doesn't help.
Yeah, Kaituna at 19, down from 22. That's still a bit warm for trout, I
think. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. The smaller ones are there. They seem to be able to cope. They don't have the same body mass as a big fish, and there's nothing much to draw them into there at the moment. It's basically just a spawning area, so any time from when the water drops down to under 18, which could be any time in the next few weeks, right through till I've been catching good fish in the app until November at times, but that's not common. October is usually the end of that, the fishing in that area.
Okay, so it's all overall, it's all good. You've got plenty of options, lots of lakes and rivers within a half-hour drive.
Yeah, and one of the things too that I've picked up on is a lot of guys now starting to use a line called a hover line. And it has an extremely slow sink rate. It's probably the one that's called the hover line has got the slowest sink rate in the world, I think, and that seems to have outfished any other type of line from floating down to sinking line around the stream mouths over the summer. And I'm looking forward to actually trawling one at Ruoto and places like that. So instead of your fly sitting on the bottom, you can keep it up in the water column longer. You're going to get less sort of pulls on the line as they pass over the line or they try and pick it up off the bottom.
Okay, I understand.
So it could actually be a very effective line for the winter too.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's the tip, and there's something to try, the hover line. And, well, excellent. Thank you, Bert. Thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm on 0272896079, and then just give us a text or give us a call and I'll update you on what's happening around the area.
Well, there's the offer, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua Fly Fishing, 0272896079. Bert, that's great to catch up. Thanks for the info. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, well, we'll hear something, hopefully.
Thank you, Bert.
Thanks, Colin.
See ya. Bert Robinson, 0272896079. What you do is you text him and say, how's the fishing? Where am I going to go? What flies to use? Which way is the wind blowing? All that sort of stuff. That's what he does. Thank you, Bert. Okay, quick break, and then more fishing stuff.
It was a filthy block of flats. Trash was on the floor. A snake was in my nose. Hinges off the doors. She took me in her room. I was big and span. Fixed me up a drink. Turned down all the lamps. And the rain fell down. And the cold hard ground. And the phone kept ringing. And we made sweet love. This strange great town, they build it up and let it all fall down. Feel like we're living in a battleground. Everybody's jazzed. Why do we live in this strange great town? The paint is peeling and the sky turned brown. The beggars are whackers every Thursday night. They just vomit on the ground.
To Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Now, Martin Langlands is based in the South Island, and Martin has many years' experience as a fisherman, a fly tyer, a casting instructor, and a fishing guide. And that's exactly why we want to talk to him on the week, on the Friday, so we can find out what's happening for the weekend. Good evening, Martin.
Hello, how are you going?
Very good, thank you. You're well down there?
Yes, superb, thank you.
Very good. Now, weather forecast, your region is very good for today, good for tomorrow, good for Sunday, still 23 degrees during the day, cooling down overnight. What's it all done to the fishing?
What's it all done to the fishing? Yeah, look, so very interesting. Yeah, today was just a beautiful day, just typical of one of those days when I don't guide. Beautiful blue sky day. So weather's been pretty, let me just explain, because weather has a big bearing on the whole thing here in Canterbury and a lot of the east coast of the South Island. So we've come from some very hot weather. It's starting to cool off a little bit. We actually had some quite nice rainfall last weekend, which topped a lot of the rivers up a little bit, which so it was just beautiful, really good timing.
Okay.
Some of our smaller rivers were getting very low, so it's put a little bit more water into them and some into the bigger rivers. So it's sort of brought back to life some of the smaller streams. It's brought a lot of salmon into the rivers. You know, the salmon runs so far this season have been pretty poor, but over the last week or so, people fishing lower down near the mouths of the rivers, you know, the big rivers like the Haranui, the Rekaia, Rangitata, have been doing quite well on the salmon, so it's been quite good. And as far as the trout go, yeah, they're reasonably active, but can be pretty hard at times.
Okay, but that's, fly fishing wasn't meant to be easy, I don't think.
No, it wasn't meant to be easy, and I was just talking to another guide that I know, a very nice young guide, and it's just that sort of trickier time a little bit for some of the trout rivers where, you know, time's ticked on, the season's gone on, they've had a bit of pressure, you know, the flows are going low, the water temperatures are warming up a little bit, and they're getting a little bit harder, so, you know, a lot of you have to really be on your A game, and I guess there's a few tips that I can give people. You know, I guess guiding, you get privy to see a lot of mistakes that get quite commonly made and cost people dearly. So okay. I'll just talk about those if that suits
okay.
you.
Okay, what are some mistakes that are commonly
sure.
made?
So, you know, yeah, the first mistake that I've found, you know, and this has become really, really pertinent in the last few weeks. As I say, a lot of the trout are quite shy. So, you know, when we're nymph fishing, which we tend to do a lot of, fish are taking really quite quickly and letting go really quickly. So quite gentle takes, Colin.
Okay.
So, you know, the angler has to respond two ways to that. Number one, it's really important if you're upstream nymph fishing, which we mostly do, to keep up with your slack line. You know, retrieve all that slack line. A little bit of the same in the Tongariro and all that sort of stuff over winter. But really keep up with your slack line. So that way, if you're running a little bit late on your strike, that you at least get a better chance of a result. Whereas if you've got slack line and you're running late, not yes. much chance.
Okay, I understand, yes.
So that's number one. Number two would be, you know, longer leaders. It's that time of year where you really want to be using 12 to 15 foot, 18 foot leaders. You know, whatever you're happy with. I mean, you don't want to outstretch and get tangled all the time. So 12 feet's fine for most situations. 15's ultimate, 18 really good if you've got the skills to do it. So, you know, those longer leaders just enable easier presentations on spookier fish and a little bit of margin for error if you don't cast where you first wanted to.
Okay, I understand.
So that'd be point number two. And then point number three, if you see quite frantic risers out there, and they are happening, we're having these quite lush spasmodic mayfly hatches that don't last long, and this is throughout the sort of east coast that I've seen. And a lot of people have found them really quite tricky, those fish. You know, they put little wee dries on and they go through their dries. What I find's best, and this has been a pattern of mine for about 10 years now, you're far better to put a parachute atoms on that you can see, something like a 14, and then put a small dropper of about 18 inches of quite low diameter tippet, 4X or 5X, and put a small, lightly weighted pheasant tail, size 16, that looks a lot like an emerger. So a lot of times when the fish are rising frantically on the mayfly hatches, they look like they're taking the adults because they're coming to the top, but they're actually just taking the emerging mayfly, especially the Deleterium mayfly, just under the surface.
I get you. Yes, I understand, yes.
So they're probably my main three tips right now for the avid fly fishing people.
Okay. Now, do you use shop-bought tapered leaders or do you tie up your own? Or?
Yeah, I use shop-bought, really. Yeah, for sure. No, I've been through processes of tying my own, and I know my brother Petty had a whole section where he tied his own. I find it just too complicated and I really don't like the knots when you tie your own.
Okay.
So shop bought. Look, really good brands out there. Trout Hunter, Rio. You know, there's even some Chinese ones that are really, really quite good. So, you know, you'd want to be looking at, as I say, 12 feet at the minimum. You know, 2X, 3X, that's the other thing. You want to keep it pretty strong. You're going to work hard for your hookups out there.
Yes.
So you don't want to sort of just get a great hookup and then have a quick bust off.
Correct, yeah.
So I'm tending to use 2 and 3X just to give people a better margin for error when they hook up.
Okay, and you're using fluorocarbon for your tippet material?
At times, okay. At times, but just regular nylon too.
Okay.
Yeah, I use a little bit of both. I mean, that's an interesting sort of debate, isn't it? So, yeah, both.
They say a fluorocarbon has the same reflective index as water, or very, very close to
yeah,
it, so it's theoretically harder to see.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know I've had a really good trout. I mean, I don't want to push any particular brand, but I know I've been using Trout Hunter 4X, and I've really had a good run on it, and that's fluorocarbon. And I've never really been a big fluorocarbon fan, and I've been using it for the last 15, 20 years at times, but I'm starting to a little bit more, and it seems to really work well, especially, again, in these harder conditions that we've got now.
Okay, because as you say, at the end of summer, some of these fish have seen a lot of flies.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they've been fished to, you know, the water temperature's warm. They're just a little more circumspect. You know, that brings us to the next phase, though. That's probably about to change. You know, we actually had a frost. I guided yesterday, and we started quite early, and we were out in the frost. So, you know, autumn is in the air, and that's a totally different subject that we'll get to next time.
Okay. Now, I keep an eye on your Facebook page. I like your stories and your photography and stuff. Tell me about the river with long hair. Where the hell is
it? Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, the river with long hair, for sure. So, yeah, the river with long hair, and this is quite interesting. Yeah, as I've sort of got into guiding midway through, I started to get really interested in the Maori names for rivers.
Yes.
And, you know, their origins. So, like, say, the Wai Makariri, which is a river that I live near, and it's one of my favourite rivers. Wai obviously means water. Makariri means cold water. So, okay. Yeah, there's one meaning. The river with long hair is, in fact, the Hurunui River.
Uh-huh.
So, Nui means big. Haru means hair. Uh-huh. So, river of big hair.
Very good.
So, you know, it's from a... And, you know, I think it's quite nice to... In New Zealand, you know, a lot of the names... You know, just to find meanings to them, especially on the river names, and they often give quite a nice sentiment, a nice spirit to the river.
It is good, yeah.
So another set of rivers further south, the Opihi, you know, which is Opihi, pronounced correctly. So O is place of, Pihi, growth, place of growth.
Okay, excellent.
So it's quite, you know, just a little hobby of mine, you know, and I think it pays to as a guide. I mean, you know, it's quite important to talk about the indigenous culture and the names. Yeah, when you can, points of interest.
I understand. Now, you mentioned the Waimakariri is your local. It's only, what, 10 kilometres from
Seven.
You, approximately?
Seven kilometres.
Well, there.
Yeah.
You know it exactly. Your car would know the way there by now.
Oh, I do know the way there. But look, the really good thing about our rivers here, like the Waimakariri, that's a braided river, and this will really interest you because I don't think this happens so much in the North Island. Because it's a braided river and it goes over a really wide riverbed, it changes all the time. So each flood you have, it's like a rewrite. You've got to get out and learn the nice runs again.
Okay.
So it's not it's a river that really keeps you on your toes. And there's a lot of nothing out there. Like, there's a lot of water with no fish. So, you know, quite a tricky river. But, yeah, all the big braided rivers, I must say, you know, to listeners, you know, the Rangitata, Rakaia, Waimak, Hurunui, Waia are all in really good shape. Great time to get out there no matter what you're doing, whether you're spin fishing, soft plastics, fly fishing or fishing streamers.
Mm-hmm.
Those bigger rivers are probably the best place to be right now.
Okay, that Waimakariri, apparently it's 150 kilometres long.
It is.
Yeah. Now, it's not, you can't get in everywhere, but that's still a hell of a lot of
water.
That's
right. No, it's sure. Yeah, well said, Colin. You're really, really well said. You know, there's a big part of it in the gorge area where it's hard to get into.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, you can sort of fairly well get into. Yeah, look, it is a super long river, and it has a lot of various stages and moods. It's a phenomenal fishery. You know, lower down, they do a lot of kawai, and they do a lot of sea run brown fishing, and they do salmon fishing. Then the midsections, that's more dudes like me, fly fishing and soft plastics and spin. Then into the gorge, it's a little bit tricky, but there's some beautiful holes, and it has a few very nice tributaries. The nice thing about it is it has rainbows, browns, and, you know, obviously a run of king salmon, so it's quite a diverse fishery.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Now, do you ever get to go in a jet boat up there?
No, not really. No, I don't. No, it's an interesting thing. I tend to avoid excess fossil fuel use.
All right.
Yeah, another side just to my own personality, but, you know, I tend to avoid helicopter access and jet boat access. I like to do it on foot, and, you know, I like to sort of project that within my guiding and my own personal fishing.
Okay, understand.
Yeah, I guess we were brought up that way, so I do it on foot. I have been through there on a jet boat one time with my son, so it's an amazing experience, no questions.
Did it, but yeah, I'd like to, because it's so huge.
And the salmon anglers use it a lot, because, I mean, the salmon anglers are always looking for the really nice holes out there, the nice pools where salmon might rest. So, you know, there's a certain, you know, the jet boat culture is really quite big on the Rangitata, Rakaia and Waimakariri and Waiau rivers, you know,
so.
To access it, because it's a long way between pools and different pools. So, you know, that's their sort of culture.
Okay, I understand. Now, just talking to Bert Robinson, Rotorua, is there still a lot of anglers around from overseas? Or
there seems to be, for sure. Yeah, no, okay. There seems to be, for sure. No, I've actually been quite shocked lately at the number of... a lot of overseas anglers and a lot of freedom campers around, for sure.
Okay. Do you have trouble with freedom campers? Was there mess or anything, or is that not
an issue? Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I do. It's an interesting one. And again, you know, look, I don't want to come across this, but, you ask my opinion. Yeah, look, and not necessarily even the mess, but yes, I did. We saw a lot of mess this week, actually, where the freedom campers had been. Really quite a turn-off. But beyond that, they're sort of like taking over a lot of the backcountry huts and... Yeah, you know, there's areas that we used to go to that were quite quiet. Well, you go there now and there's 20 camper vans there.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and this is an outdoor, this is in out-of-the-way places, like this is in the backcountry.
Yes.
And you just thought, ooh, hang on here, that's actually not why we come here, you know. So it's just a changing time for us, isn't it, in New Zealand?
Yes, it is. It needs some, I don't know.
I think it just needs some degree of regulation. I mean, I know no regional councils have been working hard on it. You know, so I know I live in the Selwyn District Council, so, you know, we've certainly put in public toilets in a few different places and, you know, places that cater for them, which is really good. But I think in the backcountry places and in our national parks, I think that's where we really need to work hard. Otherwise, and I know there's really big issues, you've probably seen it on the news, on the West Coast. And I did some guiding a wee while back over in Hokitika, and I was just shocked at the number of freedom campers over there.
Is that right?
And you go to these quiet places, but again, you know, you're looking at 15 to 25 camper vans, and you go, gee, it just loses a lot of the allure, those beautiful places.
Yeah, that's...
So they're not necessarily fishing, but, you know, it's just the whole freedom camper. Yeah, it's a hard issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tricky. I don't know the answer myself. There you go. All right, lovely to catch up. Thank you, Martin. Now,
thank you.
Tell us about your website and your Facebook
page. Sure, my website's www.troutlands.com, or you can find me on Facebook if you put Martin Langlands, LANGLANDSN.
All right, have a look at that, listeners. Troutlands.com and Martin Langlands on Facebook. Lovely photography and stories about fishing. It's very, very good.
Oh, really nice to talk to you. No, I hope those, just remember those tips. You know, keep up with your slack line. You know, all that sort of stuff, longer leaders. It's, you know, there's some beautiful conditioned fish out there, but you've A game. Try to up your game, everybody. Myself included, because I actually fished today and didn't catch a fish.
That's fishing,
Martin.
You
don't want to talk to me next week now, do you?
No, you'll be on there. Don't worry about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin.
See you, Colin. Bye. Bye.
It's Mr. Martin Langlands. Thank you, Martin. His website is troutlands.com. And Facebook page, Martin Langlands. Have a look at that. It's very good. Okay, what have we got? We've got 41 seconds to go, so we do have time for the fly fishing tip of the week. The fly fishing tip of the week. Trout do not have eyelids. On bright, sunny days, they will seek shade or deep water. Fish these areas first. Makes sense, doesn't it? Med Service says we're in for a fine, sunny, dry weekend. Remember, trout do not have eyelids on bright sunny days. They will seek shade or deep water. Fish these areas first. Okay. Now, Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.